Scripture is from the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. There was once a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Attack on Job's health. One day, the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, Where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still persists in his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason. Then Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin. All that people have, they will give to save their lives. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well, he is in your power, only spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome sores on Job from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Job took a potsherd with which to scrape himself and sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Last week, you may have noticed I was missing. I went to a South Carolina Writers Association convention. I drove through the tail end of Hurricane Helene as she passed by to get to a hotel with no power. So the first class was in a totally dark room that had one spotlight on. It reminded me of going camping in the Boy Scouts where you put a flashlight under your chin and swap ghost stories. That's what it felt like. Then the keynote speaker for the night came up and we had that session not in a room but right in the middle of the lobby where they had large windows and we moved it up an hour early so there'd still be daylight. During that whole time, I met one guy, and I maybe spoke five words to him. Hi, how are you? Count those words. I don't know how many. But the next morning, I get up, and I see him. He sees me, and he walks on over, and he says, you've heard that the rest of the conference has been canceled. We just can't do it without power. And I said, no. He said, check your emails. It'll be in there. And I said, okay. And then I said, well, where are you from? He said, Rock Hill. I said, really? I'm from Rock Hill. I serve at Aldersgate. And he goes, oh, my wife's there filling in for Phil. I met Dina's husband, Craig. God sent me to Columbia to meet a man from Rock Hill. God is still working in amazing ways. Thank you to Mallory for filling in for me. I know that you appreciated her ministry and the time she gave to you, and I know she appreciated the warm welcome and the time she had here with you. Let us pray. Lord, on this day where there is pain, let us not forget that there is hope, that there is grace, that there is mercy, that there is comfort, that there is real help, that there are so many servants of you just waiting to go to work. Remind us of who you are so we will know whose we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is good. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
That is a wonderful saying, especially when everything is going good and everything is coming up roses. But can we really mean those words in times of trial and difficulty? I've been asking myself that question for a very long time. Can people in Asheville, looking at the half acre of land where their home used to be, say that and mean that? How about the people of East Palestine, Ohio? The Ukrainians, the Israelis, the Palestinians. God is good. Yeah, can they say that? Can they say that? What kind of faith does it take to say God is good no matter how terrible and how terribly hard it sometimes becomes to live your life? Let's look at the story of Job. Good reading, young lady. There were some big words in there. There were some hard words in there. And if they're going to spell, if they're going to pronounce Job as Job, they should put an E on the end. That gets confusing for adults too. But let's look at Job's story. Let's discover greater depths of faith. In fact, let's take a look at Mrs. Job and see what great lessons of faith she can teach us this morning. Now, you may think I've lost my mind. Look at Mrs. Job. You know, back then they believed that if you cursed God, you would die. And for centuries, theologians jumped all over this woman. What a shrew! Her advice to her husband is to curse God and die? What a horrible woman! What a wretched wife! If you think like that, you are not alone. You are in good company. I mean, those early theologians were brutal. One of them said Job's biggest tragedy was that his wife was not visiting the kids when the tornado hit. Another one said that Job lost everything but his wife, and leaving her behind was Satan's most cruel test. Don't you love God-fearing Christians? There have been people in our church for every century who are very creative in the way they denounce others. And Mrs. Job is no exception. She appears on the scene for 2 seconds. And for the next 2,000 years, 3,000 years, she gets psychoanalyzed and ridiculed by everyone. But then came the year 1825. In that year, William Blake, an artist and a theologian, poet and a painter, produced a book of paintings depicting major scenes from the life of Job. Now, they were very different. To everyone's surprise, in every single painting, Mrs. Job was portrayed as standing at Job's side, sharing in his suffering. In every scene. Why was his view of Mrs. Job so different from that of everyone else? Well, for hundreds of years, nobody considered that the 10 children Job lost were also her children. For hundreds of years, no one considered that her grief was substantially greater than that of her husband's. Not only was she grieving the loss of all her children, but now on top of it all, she has a husband who is helpless and fighting a battle against a deadly disease. Her sons are gone. If Job dies, she has no sons or husbands to protect her, to provide for her. And that society was extraordinarily brutal on women with no men in their life to watch over them. Still, she would live that miserable existence if it will end her husband's torment. Mrs. Job's devotion to her husband is staggering, even to the point of living a brutal, punishing life if it will end Job's pain. And in chapter 13, Job says one of the most powerful words in all the scriptures, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Some among us are suffering right now. The world certainly is. You're worried about someone you love. There's illness and pain and broken relationships. There's finances. There are many worries. But allow me this reminder. Falsely accused, humiliated, beaten, whipped, nailed to a cross, our God knows what it is for us to suffer. For not even God's Son was spared the painful suffering of the cross. God is so familiar with our suffering. So, can you say it with me? God is good all the time and all the time. God is good.